welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. Today, I'm actually joined by Sarah Austin, and she is a writer. She's an author who's working on her third book, and interestingly enough, it's actually about influencer marketing. And I know we almost bumped into each other when I was at the Oracle Open World. I think you were in the same blockchain event as I was, right? But you've worked with all sorts of different companies. You've worked with Intel and SAP
SAP, Oracle, Ford Motor Company, General Motors, Virgin America. So everything from cognitive computing to transportation.
Very interesting. So you come from a coding background, right?
Well, no, I wouldn't say coding background. I did study coding at university, mm-hmm. and I'm a Johns Hopkins certified data scientist. I've built a lot of tech products. I love building things, mm-hmm. But I would call myself more of a code architect and a product designer more so than a coder.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. So, influencer marketing, we're going to talk about first of all. And yeah, I mean, I know, you know, you've worked within influencer marketing, as I do as well. And so companies, they hire us to actually make a noise about their products and their services and their innovations and this kind of stuff, right? So, and obviously I find people like you as well. That's what our business actually does. But the first thing I think would be interesting to talk about is how do people actually identify relevant influencers? Because that's a hard one. I'm struggling in some cases to find really, really good ones.
Well, there's this new trend in influencer marketing right now, and it's about finding micro influencers. So the influencers who have high engagement but a smaller following. Because a lot of the marketers are spending large budgets to engage these influencers who have a million followers, but they're only getting, you know, 5,000 engagements per post, which is really, really low. You would have higher expectations and you would pay for this large engagement, but then at the end of the day, you don't get the engagement that you need. So trying to find those micro influencers is more popular right now. And you know, there's tools out there that can help you to look for these people. But at the end of the day, it's similar to public relations where it's really all about the relationship management.
Yeah, very much so. I'm not going to say I've been struggling, but I've been sort of looking for a specific type of influencer for a specific channel. Right. And it's, you know, yeah, there are all these tools and you can use all these search tools and everything else, right? But then you send them a message and then you don't get a response, or you go to their website, right? And their contact form's broken, yeah? So you go to Facebook, you send them a message on Facebook, they don't reply. You send them a message on LinkedIn, they don't reply. You send them to one on Twitter, they don't reply, right? And it's like, it's actually a very labor-intensive job, I would say, finding the right ones. And that's why sticking with really good ones is kind of the best thing to do. And then helping them to sort of build their profiles, right? I mean, I know that's something that you've done a lot yourself in the past, yeah?
Well, that's what my book's about. It's a practical how-to guide step-by-step for anybody who wants to become an influencer. It's everything that you need to know on not just how to build a following, because I hit it hard in the very beginning, chapter one of the book, that it's not about getting a million followers. It's about making money and providing a salary income. And whether that's full-time or that's part-time while you work your other jobs, or even if it's just for job security, if you don't care about having all of these fans and being popular, but you want to be recognized as a professional in your field, like medical doctors, for example, those that have a larger social media presence do end up getting more speaking engagements. Their papers are more recognized, so it will help them in their professional pursuits. Even if they're, you know, full-time ER doctor, they can still spend the weekends and extra time posting some of their research or findings to the internet, or just engaging with people who, you know, might have Q&A on health issues.
Yeah, very much so. It's the same in all industries, right? Like in the dental industry, my dentist, he was like the president of the British Dental Association, like the British Cosmetic Dental Association. Not that there's anything wrong with my teeth, right? But basically his speaking engagements helped him to get that role, right? And it means that you can charge more money. I mean, like, why do you want to build your personal brand? You want to make more money, right? Like, it's pretty simple. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, or just for SMBs, you know, it used to be about the white pages, the yellow pages, like that was how you found people. But nowadays you find people on LinkedIn, you find them on Twitter or Facebook. So that's the new discovery.
Yeah. Are you old enough to remember the yellow pages? Says me with a great beard here, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the yellow pages.
The really thick yellow pages, right? Because I know they got rid of that, didn't they? They scrapped that, and then they put this really small yellow pages together, right? And that didn't work, yeah?
Yeah, I actually did some business consulting for the yellow pages.
Right.
Related to influencer marketing.
It's crazy though, you know, it's crazy if you think about like how things have gone from like the telephone. When I grew up, like we had a telephone, you put your finger in it and you turned it around, right? You know, and you know, we had four channels on the television, yeah? And now it's just like everyone is a broadcaster, everyone's got something to say. And that's why like what you're saying about the micro influencer, it just makes so much sense, yeah? Because that audience is so targeted at exactly the right people that brand want to reach, or that business wants to reach, right? You know?
Right. And actually being a micro influencer, you will make more money than if you set your sights on just being famous. Like yeah. It's so much harder to become famous than just to focus on your niche and becoming an expert at, or just talking about whatever you want to talk about. And focusing on your brand in that way. You know, for me, I've kind of made this transition from consumer goods, from my time when I spent it on Madison Avenue in New York City, doing influencer marketing for larger brands, like Virgin America, and then coming to the Silicon Valley and not only focusing on high tech, but specifically on enterprise technology related to artificial intelligence, and then later on blockchain technologies, machine learning, big data. And so as a result, now I'm more of a specialized influencer, but you know, I make more money.
Yeah.
So money is good.
Yeah. It's less stress, right? When you find a niche the thing is, you need to know what you're talking about, right? And that's just so important for like the next question on here, which is like how to determine which influencers are the best fit for your business, right? And if they don't know what they're talking about, then they need to learn really quickly. Yeah. If you know, because they might like know about big data, and they might know about cloud, and they might know about blockchain, but they might not know about AI, right? So then they need to up their skills around AI. And then, so it's like I didn't know a huge amount about ERP until say a year ago. Yeah. But I went out and I worked really hard to learn about ERP because Oracle asked me to write some blogs and do some social media work around ERP. So hence how I bumped into you on Twitter, because we were on the hashtag, right, on Oracle Open World. And yeah. We were in the same room. That's so bizarre that we just didn't. I think it's because your Twitter picture may be different, and I might probably looked a bit different. So we probably just didn't make the connection, maybe. I don't know.
My hair was in a bun, and I do look differently when I put it up. But it was a large room. It was the blockchain panel, and you know, Oracle, while the ERP team is really strong, has been putting some effort into blockchain. And so that we got to talk to some Oracle or listen to a panel with some Oracle customers. And,
right,
you know, it was a really good panel. And I think I did a little video blog about it on my Twitter. And unfortunately, we didn't get to meet, but here we are. Now we're doing the Influential Visions podcast.
Exactly. And we're collaborating. There's all sorts of things that we can collaborate on, you know. And that's what's so exciting about the internet. And, you know, it's just super exciting that people can actually build a brand for themselves and become influential in a specific space, which is actually growing. I mean, influencer marketing is predicted to grow something like 50%, isn't it, in the next 3 years, I think. I'm sure it's something like that.
Influencer marketing really is, like, if your marketing organization isn't on that bandwagon, you guys are years behind. You know, I'm speaking to marketers here, but yeah, you would be surprised how many institutions just haven't even started an influencer marketing program. It's relatively new, even though this is something that was relatively new 10 years ago. Back then, we were calling it micro celebrities. We were talking about social media marketing. But now, you know, we're starting to sort of evolve into newer ways to communicate with our customers. And our customers are on social media. And so we need to be able to reach them where they are. Additionally, it's becoming relevant to all different fields, not just marketing. It's becoming relevant to sales, to HR, anywhere that your company needs to represent itself to the public. Influencer marketing is top of mind.
Yeah, very much so. Because people can educate themselves 24/7, right? 365 days a year. And they can learn about these things any time of day, right? So they're going to need to find the content from somewhere, and they actually want a good source of content. They want someone that's going to educate them along the way and, you know, and not be too salesy, because a lot of corporate propaganda is just so sales oriented. It's like really pushy. Yeah. And that's just totally no. It's a total no.
Oh, it's so bad. Like, I would say it's annoying, not just for the influencers, for the actual customers, the people that the actual business is trying to meet. And so, to answer your question, that's why companies need to stop, like, and HR, just like whether you're hiring an influencer for a one-time job or you're hiring someone for a full-time job, everyone needs to stop with these preconceived notions of what that ideal candidate looks like and actually look at the metrics, the analytics. And we have the most advanced technologies with AI right now and machine learning to really break down the data. Plus, we have vast amounts of data that we can analyze now at scale. So there are no excuses. Like, people need to be harnessing these technologies to make these decisions, because if, like, for example, in enterprise technology, there's kind of this concept of somebody who's older as being the ideal influencer.
So I grew a beard.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But I am a gray beard. That's the thing. I am a gray beard.
You know what you're talking about. But that's
the look. And so, you know, that's why I had started this company called Broad Listening, which is really to help human capital.
We're going to talk about that in the next episode. Yeah, I'm not going to edit this, by the way.
Okay.
But so anyone listening, you need to listen to jump to the next one and check that out. And if you listen the wrong way round, then you need to, like, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, they need to come back to this one, right? So anyhow, so how do you measure the impact from key influence? Because I know, like, this is, you know, I was in social media for like quite a few years, right? And there's always this conversation of, you know, people want likes, they want views, they want shares, they want retweets, they want favorites and whatever, right? So but then it's like, actually they want really good clicks. There's this continual educational process that needs to happen between us, as in the influencer marketing company, right, and the end client, right? And you have to have that conversation too, which is, guys, what are you tracking here? Yeah. Are you tracking clicks to this page? Are you tracking relevant clicks? And what happens to those clicks? Like, what are those people doing? And this is a conversation that I have all the time, right?
Yeah. I mean, sure, KPIs are great. That stands for key performance indicators, as you know.
Yeah.
But what marketing organizations need to be doing more is just focused on supporting sales. So lead generation and sales funnels, and actually measuring the success of your influencer marketing campaign based on driving sales through that sales funnel. So that's the other thing that I'll end up finding is I'll go in with my campaign, and everyone, just the executive management, is all about the KPIs, and then they want to cut out the sales funnel or the lead generation budget that actually supports sales, because they're like, well, we just want to show that our marketing organization is performing, and right now the corporation is only interested in KPIs, right. So we're not going to support sales.
Right.
And it's like, that's a little bit counterintuitive. Obviously, the CEO or anyone who's above these kinds of decisions would say, no, hello, this is a company, we're here to sell. But it's pretty disjointed. So you'd be surprised on how many people don't want lead generation and they don't want sales funnels. But it's like, that's the brilliance, like having an amazing sales funnel that you're constantly refining and constantly learning from. You can do multiple influencer campaigns with the same sales funnel. It really is the next step in influencer marketing. And you know what's even better is, like, anyone, you, me, any influencer, we can create our own sales funnels and we can sell our own products. And we don't have to just go in and do this for corporations, because that's the other thing that's really hard about being an influencer is you spend all this time doing sales when you just want to be out there creating amazing content. And you end up spending more time than you are creating content actually doing sales.
I agree. It can be a slightly disjointed funnel in a lot of these cases. It just depends on where you are in that organization, right? And how and who, which sales reps are actually keeping an eye on what's going on. Because a lot of the time, it does go down to the sales rep. It goes down to that local rep going into that company, speaking to that person. And that can be where it's, I mean, it can be broken in all sorts of areas, right? We know that, yeah?
Right, like the next step will just to integrate it seamlessly into the lead generation and sales click funnels. But right now, it's a little bit like, oh, here's our marketing campaign. Okay, sales department, we're gonna tell you about the marketing campaign, show you links to the content, and then you can personally send an email and copy and paste that link to the content and put it in an email and say, hey, so-and-so, I haven't heard from you from a while, but I wanted to show you this really cool marketing campaign we did. Oh, by the way, will you buy our product?
Yeah. Well, that's just bad, isn't it? But I think, I don't know. I think in some cases, it all depends on what they're actually tasked to do, because at some companies, they've got the PR and then they've got the marketing and they're not really, in some cases, joined up that well. Yeah. But I think the people at the top of the marketing and the people at the top of the PR are trying to join it up really well. And they're doing a fantastic job. Yeah.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, like when your sole objective is KPIs, I think it can hurt the value that the business objectives ultimately are, which is to grow the business. And so whether that's relaying information back from the influencer marketing campaign into product, like, one of my followers found a bug, here you go. They tweeted it at me. or if it's like, hey, here, I put this sales funnel together and I collected, 2,000 credit card deposits.
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. It's all down to just the specific instance, isn't it? Because everything's different, totally different. So you can't, until you go in and look at it, right? You're not going to know, are you? Until you take a look, right? You know?
Well, that's what I'm trying to educate marketers on, is that marketing, influencer marketing, is bottom up sales.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Sales is going for the guy who has company Amex, the gal or the guy who has the Amex card, and put down a $100 deposit and say, yeah, have one of your sales representatives call me. We're interested in making a $100,000 purchase.
Right, right.
Just collect a small payment, like get them invested.
Yeah.
Or just sell the entire product. Like if you're selling shampoo or
of course. But then, yeah, but we're talking about the sales journey, yeah? And it could be a 4-year sales cycle. It could be, you know, that's the point, yeah? Is a lot of this is educational content, right? That you know, yes, it's tracked and the clicks are tracked and the conversations are tracked, right? But actually, until that person or that company or those people are tracked through that sales funnel, it could take years. So with big sales, sales, like it could take 5 years to replace an ERP. You know as well as I do, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. So for enterprise sales, it takes an average of 10 touch points before a sale is closed. And so it's nice to integrate other channels besides email and phone calls, although phone calls are super effective. To integrate those into touch points. And so that's where social media marketing and influencer marketing comes in.
Very cool. So how do people find you then, Sarah, if they're looking to have a conversation with you?
I am Sarah Austin on Twitter and Sarah Austin on Facebook. And then same goes for LinkedIn. And then on Instagram, though, I'm Sarah A. TV.
Oh. Okay.
And the reason why I do that is because Instagram's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Like while I pretty much focus on AI and big data on my more professional channels, Instagram is more casual. And so I've been doing content there that's related to home improvement more of my artistic side on fixing things and how-tos around the house.
Stuff cool. Like that. Well, thanks ever so much for listening. And if you'd like to talk about influencer marketing, then please drop me an email at nat@natskula.com and we can discuss your requirements and see if I can help you. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.